What's up? This is the Little Saigon Report. I guess I went for a very long time with only doing a report on a variable basis every few weeks, if not months, and now I seem to be doing one every day. I'm not going to ask you to explain that or find some significance. This is not my desire. But it is the Little Saigon Report, and I am here to talk about Apple CEO Tim Cook winning an award, the first ever award, actually, from the Anti-Defamation League of New York City, called the Courage Against Hate Award. And Tim took the opportunity to say that, you know, it's a sin. It's actually a sin. I mean, of course, Tim is an expert on sin. It's a sin to not ban people from social media if you believe that their words they use or their beliefs are filled with hate. Now, this is really funny. I was actually going to do a podcast today or tomorrow about hate because I have to tell you something because I have to let it out. I walked away from a really good contract gig back in September. I was working at Alaska Airlines, at their Angel Lake headquarters for their non-revenue travel team. Now, if you're an Alaska Air employee, an actual employee, you get the benefit of traveling in the spaces that no one else occupies. I don't really want to go too deep into that because it's really kind of ridiculous. But yeah, they have an internal benefit, and that benefit's supported by a website and an Android app and all sorts of other things. And I was working as a contractor because previous to my arrival, they had been using Informix as their database back end, and because they were moving to the cloud, they had to move away from Informix. I don't want to get too geeky right now, but Informix is an IBM relational database. It isn't the worst in the world, but it is kind of out of date, and finding people that know how to work with Informix is fairly difficult. The last time I worked with Informix was 2006 and 7, a practice management system that a particular orthopedic practice was using called Mysis had Informix as its back end. So yeah, it's been a while. So I was brought in to help them, you know, migrate to SQL Server, blah, blah, blah. And frankly, it was a pretty meat and potatoes vanilla job, except for the fact that it was a horribly run project. Most of the team was clueless. As a contractor, it was certainly important for me to do everything I was told to do, but my actual opinion was more or less ignored. And one other fact, pretty much the whole team, with the exception of, you know, one or two other people, you know, they were all basically Chinese, Indian, H-1B visa. Now, maybe they weren't all H-1B visa, but the point is it was a pretty much an Asian team. Now, I'm not really racist, although saying that at this point, you'd probably say, come on, Dan, that sounds really racist the way you just described your team. Well, I'm actually not. But I'm also not a big fan of H-1B visa. I think it's bullshit. I think it's pretty much designed to target what's left of the quote-unquote American middle class, irrespective of their ethnicity. The goal of H-1B visa is to deliberately control the software IT market, especially in the Seattle area. Do your own research. Better yet, you know, if you're an actual journalist, and I don't think journalists exist for the most part, but if you're an actual journalist, why don't you dig deeper? Because I think you'd find some pretty gross shit going on when it comes to the H-1B visa program at Microsoft, Amazon, Google, Alaska Airways, and a whole bunch of other fucking places. Anyways, I was reading this article, and it made me think about this because I was going to talk about hate. I left this job because my manager, who was Chinese, probably H-1B visa, and I think he was gay, would periodically touch me at work. Like, I would be sitting at my cube, typing, working on something, and he'd come up from behind me and grab my shoulders or grab my arm. And just so you know, it isn't so much the touching by itself that was necessarily the worst fucking part of this, because it was pretty, I don't know, it was a kind of a condescending, kind of patronizing fucking thing to do. And as an aside, before I was stationed in Korea 20 years ago, I was given some cultural training, and one of the things I was told was, you never pat an Asian person on their head because it's condescending, it's rude. I remember this because I thought about that when he would come up from behind and start touching me, and I thought to myself, well, gee, I certainly put some effort into avoiding being a complete asshole when I was in Korea for a year, but this fucktard can't avoid being an asshole for the 60 to 90 days it's going to take to migrate Informix. So yeah, about every few days he would do this. And I even spoke to my project manager, and he said, yeah, people know about this. He does this to people, but nobody wants to say anything. And I spoke to one of the permanent employees, and he said, you know, people know that Derek likes to do this, and it's just a known thing. And folks, you know, I'm almost 50 years old. So I've already got lots of checks against me if I want to get an actual good job in the Seattle area. And listen, I'm a fantastic programmer, but that's completely fucking irrelevant at this point. Being qualified as a software engineer is totally fucking irrelevant at this point. In order to get a job at these places, you have to be qualified as a social engineer. You have to be qualified really as a social justice warrior. Now, the last day I was at the job, I got in at 6 a.m. to unblock a whole bunch of people. I didn't have to, oh, by the way. I wasn't behind. I was actually ahead. And I was discovering a lot of broken shit in their project plan, left and right. I don't even want to go into it. It's so depressing. But I got in early. I had some banking stuff to do. It was a Friday afternoon. So I wanted to leave a couple hours early, which basically meant around, you know, 1 o'clock, because I got in at 6 and I worked through lunch. Well, Derek, I don't know what he was thinking of that day. I feel like the guy was a fucking moron. He could barely speak English, and he was a liar. But he comes up to my cube, and basically this is a fishbowl environment. So anything he was saying to me, everybody in the whole fucking environment could hear. And he decides to light me up for basically wanting to take care of business, even though every single one of his fucking employees, his full-time fucking employees, were basically not there, constantly taking time off. This one snowflake by the name of Christine was constantly gone. She wrote really shitty code, but nobody had the courage to tell her this because, again, you know, social engineering, you know, save face for the fucking lesbian snowflake. But yeah, he comes up my cube and he lights me up. And I said, you know, Derek, since you felt completely comfortable doing this in public, let me tell you what I'd like to say to you. And it was funny because Derek's face turned white. Here's the thing. I didn't start out as a programmer. If I'd started out as a programmer, I don't know, maybe I would be a good little IT slave too. But I didn't. I started out, my first career was as a U.S. Army officer. I'm not going to claim I was HUA, and oh, by the way, I'm an anarchist now, so I don't want to go into all my feelings about the military or the military-industrial complex. But the one thing I learned a long time ago, even before I was in the Army, maybe I learned when I was setting chokers for my dad, who was a logger, is you just don't take shit from people at a certain point. At a certain point, your dignity is probably more valuable than your paycheck, and I know, I'm not a mom or a dad. I'm not a parent. So I have the luxury, since I go home to a lonely fucking shitty apartment in Little Saigon every night, of pretty much speaking my fucking mind, certainly since my divorce. So I tell him, you know, since you want to do this publicly, and since you feel like you're entitled to just be an ass, let me tell you, Derek, don't you ever fucking touch me again. And I gotta say, a couple days afterwards, I was a little annoyed at myself, because even though I felt 100% justified, it was good money. It was $57 an hour. And listen, $57 an hour, these days I can stretch that a long ways. So yeah, I basically chose my dignity over my paycheck. And to be blunt, I was filled with a lot of rage, a lot of hate. And it wasn't just about Derek. I mean, Derek was a douchey piece of shit, but it's also about that fucking douche at Microsoft, Buddy Tong, technically who works for the company called Wickersoft, which is a Chinese company. But again, if you know anything about Microsoft or Amazon or Google, you know that there aren't that many more, that there aren't that many permanent employees any longer. There's a core of permanent employees at Microsoft surrounded by a whole bunch of contractors. That's essentially the Microsoft model. I don't give a fuck. It doesn't bother me. But again, that's the model. And all of these little remora that attach themselves to the shark, these hundreds of little companies in the Seattle area, a lot of them are either run, owned, controlled by Chinese or Indian people. Again, I don't give a fuck if you're Chinese. I don't give a fuck if you're Indian. My main issue is with H-1B visas. But deeper than that, my main issue is with really shitty software. Add that to the list of reasons I run Linux at home. Don't want to go off on that tangent. But I've been meditating on this question of hate because I was filled with rage and it felt justified. But I'm not entirely sure that rage, even when it feels justified, can ever be considered right. Especially when it translates into hate. I'm talking about actual hate, the emotion that drives you to the point of irrational thought, irrational consideration. So here's Tim Cook basically saying it's a sin not to ban people from social media platforms if the great Pope Tim, the gay Pope Tim, decides that it's hate. Well, here's the thing, Tim, you fucktard. There are many sins. There are many acts you can commit. There are the Ten Commandments. You can violate those. There's certainly the Golden Rule. You can violate that. But of all the sins described in the Bible, the one that's the most core is any act against free will. You see, Tim Cook, Mr. Tim, Mr. Fucktard, you didn't give me free will. The U.S. Constitution did not give me free will, okay? My parents fucking each other did not give me free will. I was born with free will as an endowment from God. The greatest sin you can commit is to take away my free will. And the only sin greater than that is murder, and it is because you are not simply denying choice for a person forever, but you're also denying all those people who would be impacted, the children a person might have, the entire tree of possibilities. It's why murder is so fundamentally wrong. It isn't just wrong because a chunk of organic matter stopped functioning. That would basically mean that anytime something dies, it's a great crisis. No, murder is wrong because there were a series of choices. There was a branch in sequence. There was an expanding tree of possibility. And when you kill someone, you're essentially deciding that entire tree. Not just the person's choices, but the choices that would be impacted by their choices. All that should just disappear. So while murder is the worst sin, I would argue any act against free will, no matter its intention, is a fairly grave sin. I don't know if Tim Cook understands this, but even though I'm not a huge fan of the quote-unquote gay agenda, I don't believe anybody should go around telling people they can't be gay. Listen, if you want to be fucking gay, that's your fucking business. And if a person wants to be an ignorant piece of shit, a racist, an anti-Semite, if a person wants to be a stupid communist, if a Muslim person wants to talk about killing Jews, or a Jewish person wants to talk about killing Muslim people, you know what? As long as they're not actually doing it, that's also just free speech. It may not be my kind of free speech, but I actually know something that stupid motherfucker Tim Cook doesn't actually know. Computers have an on and off button. Your phone has an on and off button. You have legs. If someone is giving some crazy ass speech in the corner, you can fucking turn around and walk the other way. If there is a bakery that won't make a penis cake for you, guess what? You don't have to buy anything at that fucking bakery. I don't know. I really don't know. I feel like Mr. Cook, Mr. CEO Tim Cook, has either completely lost it in this epic jumping of the shark, or I don't know, maybe he's projecting or feels entitled to some kind of stupid, douchey position of gay pope. But Mr. Gay Pope, go fuck yourself. I will speak my mind. I try to avoid being too crass, but you know what? If Dan wants to be fucking crass and say things that might hurt someone or make people feel uncomfortable, it's also my fucking business, just as it's the business of others to walk the fuck away. And may I add one more point, because I don't want this to be a long podcast. Motherfuckers offend me all the fucking time. Seattle, Washington, for a person like me who believes in human liberty, is one giant turd pile. I see authoritarians and little petty tyrants and Antifa fucking black-clad shitbirds all over the fucking place. I walked by some kids today talking about making Molotov cocktails, I shit you not, on the way to Volunteer Park. I was doing my daily walk, and I walked by a couple shitbirds talking about setting things on fire. Now, I don't think people should set shit on fire, but by the same token, if they want to say crazy-ass shit, I'm just going to keep on fucking walking. And if they happen to go do it, well, I don't recommend it as a strategy, but if they go do it, that's their responsibility. That's their free will. I just don't know what else to say. I had a podcast a week or so ago that I put up, and then I immediately deleted from SoundCloud. And the podcast had the title of The Last Freedom, but it was very dark. And if you follow me on SoundCloud, you know I try to be humorous when I can, but sometimes my rage, my anger, frankly, my hate, something I need to work on, something I ask for Jesus's help every fucking day. I ask for God's help every day with the rage I feel towards these, well, just monstrous human beings, these deformed souls. And so I had this podcast called The Last Freedom, and the basic theme of the podcast was that we now live in a society that is so controlled, so abusive to human choice, so offensive to human dignity, that it appears there aren't a lot of things we can do left that would actually represent freedom. I don't mean George Bush after 9/11 saying, feel free to shop. You know, that guy's a, don't get me started on the Bushes, the Bush family. What a bunch of motherfuckers. So how much freedom do we have left? And in this particular podcast, I try to make the arguments very dark. That the only freedom I might have left is to kill myself. Like, literally, not figuratively, but literally, the only freedom I have left, the only free choice I have left would be to take my own life. And the only thing that keeps me from doing that, well, not the only thing. The most important thing is I am trying to be in this life a good Christian. Man, do I fuck that up a lot. But I try to be a good Christian. I am trying to find peace and love in my heart. It is, if you know me, especially when I don't have the money to buy weed, if you know me, especially if you knew me before I ever discovered weed, which was very late in life, 38 years old, if you knew me before then, or you know me at this moment, because I'm basically broke, I have a lot of anger towards the world. I have to work on it. But it seems like sometimes the only choice or freedom I have left is to simply take my own life, and I'm not going to do it. For a bunch of reasons, maybe other than God, the second reason is there's people I love and care about. There's people that would be hurt. There are people whose lives would be damaged. Not all my family. Not all my friends. I think there are people who I've known and probably know now who would be happy if I killed myself. I know that sounds really dark, but I'm sorry. We live in a I live in Seattle, Washington, which is basically pod people land, and it's been that way for a long time. It didn't just start recently. It isn't about Republicans or Democrats. It's about this really insidious status mentality. But there are people in my life who would be hurt if I did that. But number three, other than God, other than the people I would hurt, number three would be there are still things that make me happy. And perhaps the thing that really keeps me tethered to this life is the joy I get watching all these stupid fucking Seattle fucking snowflakes dealing with Trump. Full disclosure, I did not vote for Trump. Okay, I don't believe in the system. I'm basically an anarcho-capitalist, but I call myself an anarchist because essentially my anarchism is very, very simple. I try to follow the non-aggression principle, not always that well, but I try to do the best job I can. And as long as you don't fuck with me, I'm not going to fuck with you. In an ideal world, we would solve problems voluntarily. We would work together to solve problems, not through compulsion, not the point of a gun, not because Gwashami Gwababani of the fucking Seattle City Council has some Marxist fucking bug up her ass, no, and wants the cops to act as her paid thugs. In an ideal world, we would work together to solve problems voluntarily. We wouldn't outsource our souls. We wouldn't outsource our ethics. We would actually make choices and take responsibility for our neighbors without an intermediary. In a weird way, anarchism is like the Reformation. The Reformation was about saying, I don't need a fucking pope to stand between myself and God. And in some ways, anarchism is the same thing vis-a-vis the government. I don't need any fucking bureaucrat to tell me the difference between right and wrong, especially when it's quite clear that the technocrats and the bureaucrats and the scum like Tim Cook really don't know the difference between right and wrong themselves. Of all the things I would say to that douche Tim Cook, and I would say so much, examine your own soul, Tim. Examine your own soul, examine your own conscience. Before you give great speeches about hate, ask yourself, where is your situation vis-a-vis hate? What are your actions vis-a-vis human dignity? How much of Apple's luxurious wealth is due to Chinese slave labor, you stupid fuck, Tim? And tell me, is employing slave labor to sell a shitty phone, and I really do think the iPhone is shitty as fuck, is that an action of love or hate? It might be neutral. I mean, with a sociopath, it could just be neutral. They don't really feel love or hate. But it isn't love. So it's neutral, or the affect is fucking hate. And before I let you go completely, totally, I have been running Linux at home since 2012. I recommend every intelligent person to run Linux. You don't have to be a computer programmer. It's really easy to run. And the best part is the likelihood, unless you're really, really, I mean, super incompetent and don't create passwords for your computer, the likelihood that anyone's going to hack you is virtually zero. I mean, I'm not going to speak to hardware exploits because I don't currently have the technology to manufacture my own computer components. Oh my God, I wish I did. But barring hardware exploits, the best way to avoid Apple and Google and Facebook and home computing is to run Linux and then tell Apple and Microsoft and Google and all of these other companies to go fuck themselves. And with respect to phones, listen, I have an Alcatel flip phone. It runs something called Chaos OS, which essentially is Firefox OS. It is capable of having a hotspot. It is a monthly plan, so I'm not tied into some long-term contract. It has great battery life for the obvious reason it's not running a bunch of fucking spyware all the time. But the best, and it also has a pretty decent hotspot, which means it operates as a modem. Okay, which means that if you really need to go to your computer and you don't need a phone, turn on your fucking Linux laptop, hook up to the fucking hotspot on your Alcatel flip phone, and now guess what? The internet's at your fucking fingertips. But there's also some software on it to run email and shit. I don't really use it for that, whatever. My advice to all of you, when some fucker like Tim Cook starts giving speeches about sin, and if you're an atheist, this applies as well. When some haughty, self-indulgent, self-important piece of crap starts giving speeches about sin, when the Silicon douches of the world are giving those speeches, just switch gears, go Linux, and never go back. Fuck Apple.